Thank you. So I want to talk about gonorrhea. And it's been in the news. And the main concern is it's very notorious. It's developed resistance to virtually all the first-line treatment options. And the future looks hopeless because we don't have a lot of new treatment options. And drug companies are not making a lot of drugs. And CDC, out of the concern that in certain circumstances, gonorrhea may be untreatable, decided to work in conjunction with NIH, and there was a clinical trial that evaluated alternative treatment regimens, and they looked at a combination of azithromycin plus gemifloxacin, which is another fluoroquinolone. And we do know the story of fluoroquinolone, especially when it comes to Neisseria gonorrhea. Ciprofloxacin was really good, but it didn't last and didn't buy us a lot of time. Then they also looked at a combination of azithromycin plus another drug in another class, aminoglycosides, gentamicin. However, in the U.S., we do not routinely test gentamicin. We do not routinely test gemifloxacin. And so we do not have recent data on susceptibility of any of those drugs. And that made me worry, and actually the laboratorians should be involved when it comes to selection of therapies, especially when it has to do with clinical trials, why we're spending a lot of money. The question we're trying to answer is to look at this drug, this new combination, which actually may make it into the treatment guidelines that will be released very soon, to look at it, whether the drug in the lab will have activity against isolates that are resistant to the fluoroquinolone, as well as probably has some resistant levels of resistance to azithromycin. Let's look at what are some of the reported MIC data for gentamicin. We know in Malawi, the primary treatment has been gentamicin since 1993, and it has performed really well. And a study that was conducted in 2007 found that there is 0% resistance to gentamicin. Although CLSI has not defined breakpoints for gentamicin, reported published breakpoint for gentamicin is MIC of greater than or equals to 32 microgram per mil. That's what is considered resistant. And folks in Europe, European folks, also looked at over 1,000 isolates to look at gentamicin susceptibility, and they did not find any of those isolates that were resistant. So in a way, that's convincing that gentamicin is actually a good drug. But what is the story with azithromycin? And I'm glad Professor Unamo is here. He published a paper with three isolates that had MIC greater than 4,000 microgram per mil. And his concern is that dual therapy with azithromycin and ceftriaxone is threatened by high-level resistance to azithromycin. The good news is that in the U.S., the percentage of isolates that are resistant or have elevated MIC to azithromycin has been less than 1%. However, we should all remember that in 2007, CDC withdrew fluoroquinolone, and the reason is because there's widespread resistance in the whole of the U.S. But let's also remember that before 2007, fluoroquinolone was discontinued in Hawaii. It was discontinued in Seattle, and I actually joined the lab when there was an outbreak in 2003. But gemifloxacin is a fluoroquinolone. What do we see in terms of fluoroquinolone resistance in other parts of the world? You look at that table, you will see that it ranged from 51% to 97% for fluoroquinolone. But azithro seems to be very active to some extent, but we should also be concerned about high-level resistant isolate that has been reported sporadically from many parts of the world. What is the comparison between gemifloxacin MIC as well as Cipro? At the lower end of the MIC, it's comparable. That is, something that is susceptible to Cipro will be susceptible to gemifloxacin. However, high-level resistant isolate that have MIC of 16 or greater, probably will have just a twofold reduction in the MIC, and the MIC will still be like 8 or 4. And so it is still resistant. What did we do? We selected 78 Neisseria gonorrhea strains. Out of those, 78, 63 were clinical isolates that were collected in Seattle, Washington. They were isolated of diverse anatomic sites, so included urethral, rectal, pharyngeal, and they were isolated, they were collected not just from the STD clinics, they were collected from UW Medical Center. And we also included quality control strains. We included strains that have been published by Professor Unamo as well as Joanne Dillon, the WHO strains for quality assurance of susceptibility testing, and we included CDC strains. We use e-test. Why did we use e-test? It's because it's been validated. And we published a paper in January comparing e-test synergy with agar dilution, and we found e-test to be a reliable alternative for determining both the susceptibility as well as synergy for Neisseria gonorrhea. When we evaluated the activity, combination activity by calculating the fractional inhibitory concentration, we define synergy as FICI that is less than or equals to 0.5, partial synergy as FICI that is greater than 0.5 but less than 1, additive as FICI of 1, and I promise that I'm not going to make this very technical. So if you have questions, I'll be here after the talk. What is the result? The summary is, if you look at the range, isolates that are resistant to ciprofloxacin maintain the resistance to gemifloxacin. That's just the summary of that table. And if you look at the MIC50, that is 16 for Cipro, it was 2, which is still resistant to gemifloxacin. And when we look at the combination, 13 of the isolate had partial synergy for the combination of azithromycin and gentamicin, whereas you look at the combination with gemifloxacin, only 2 isolates had partial synergy, and that is statistically significant. The combination of azithromycin plus gent, isolates that have reduced susceptibility to gentamicin tends to be susceptible with the combination of gentamicin and azithromycin, whereas for gemifloxacin, isolates that are resistant maintain their resistance when combined with azithromycin. And isolates that have concurrent resistance to azithromycin as well as gemifloxacin just remain stubbornly resistant with that combination. In summary, we did not find any antagonistic interaction, which suggests that both combination can be alternative treatment, especially when there's cephalosporin allergy or when there's decreased susceptibility to cephalosporin. But let's remember, fluoroquinolone resistance, it's not disappeared. It's been stable, it's been persistent, which makes me worry that high-level cipro-resistant isolates that were resistant to combination of gemifloxacin and azithromycin makes that combination not a good option. But combination of azithromycin and gentamicin had superior in vitro activity compared with azithromycin plus gemifloxacin. In conclusion, dual therapy with gentamicin and azithromycin will probably be more effective and than the combination of azithromycin and gemifloxacin. But however, in vivo activity as well as efficacy of both combinations need to be evaluated in regions where you have concurrent resistance to azithromycin as well as gentamicin as well as gemifloxacin, like isolate from Professor Unamo's collection that exhibit high resistance to azithromycin and that also have concurrent resistance to Cipro. And I think the future for the selection of new therapies for Neisseria gonorrhea should involve laboratorians so that there's rigorous synergy testing. Thank you very much.
So I believe the CDC study used gentamicin and 2 grams of azithromycin, where in Malawi they use Gen 240 plus 1 gram of azithromycin. So what dosage do you use, and do you feel that synergy would persist despite the difference in dosing?
In the lab, we don't use dose. We use powder, and we look at that concentration, the MIC. That's what we do.
What would it be equivalent to, I suppose?
I have no idea. I don't know.
If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.